Well, bless God, today is Resurrection Day. And today we celebrate that Jesus rose again from the grave. Yes, we've remembered over the weekend that Jesus died on the cross. But today, Resurrection Morning, we celebrate the resurrection. Jesus is alive. I don't want to take the opportunity today to begin a new series of teaching. And the title of this series is The Reality of Redemption. If you turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, I want to read my base verse for this series of teaching, found in Galatians 3 verse 13 and 14. And the scriptures say this, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You know, it's good to know that Christ has redeemed us. But in our first session, or our first lesson on this series of teaching, I want to look at something that really goes in line with the day today. I want to look at the resurrection as the foundation of redemption. Yes, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, but what we will see this morning is that the foundation of our redemption is the resurrection of Jesus. It's foundational. Let's just go back over, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 17, we read these words. It says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. If there's no resurrection, then there is no faith. Paul argues that. And actually, in fact, he says this. Look, he says, our faith is empty and futile. Yeah, we can talk about redemption. We can talk about that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. But if there is no resurrection, then everything we will share about is futile. Yes, we know that Jesus died for us. He died and he bore in his body our sins on the tree, Peter writes. We know according to Isaiah 53 that with his stripes we are healed. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. He bore our sorrows, our griefs, our pains. But if Jesus just died for them and there was no resurrection, literally means empty, or it means vain, or it can mean void of any results. And actually, it really means fruitless, to have no fruit. There were a couple in the church called Hymenaeus and Philetus. And Paul writes concerning these two. And he says this. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. It says, now Hymenaeus and Philetus strayed on the teaching of the resurrection. Let's read what the scripture says. It says, halfway through verse 17, it says, Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. What sort is he talking about? He's talking about those who have idle babblings. You know, those who don't rightly divide the word of truth, verses 15 and 16. And it says, the message that they preach will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, Hymenaeus and Philetus were teaching that the resurrection had passed. They'd strayed on their teaching concerning the resurrection. They were undermining the faith of some in the church. But Paul here states, and he makes a lot of it, and he says that this is a foundational truth, and it still stands. The resurrection is foundational to redemption. The truth of the resurrection is foundational to redemption. You see, there were some in Bible times, the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. You know, and there are people today that don't believe in the resurrection. Well, if you don't believe in the resurrection, then the whole of faith is put at risk. Perhaps that's not the right way to put it, but the whole of our faith is empty and futile. Because without the resurrection, you know, there is no endorsing of redemption. You know, victory over Satan was won at the cross. And, you know, we believe that. You know, that's what we've been remembering this weekend as we came through Good Friday. We remembered that Jesus died, that he went to the cross, he was crucified, he was put into the tomb. And this morning we celebrate that Jesus was raised to life on the third day. Victory over Satan. Victory over death. Victory over hell. Victory over the curse. Victory over Satan was won at the cross. Paul writes these words. We're going to look at a lot of Paul's teaching this morning. But Paul writes to the church in Colossae in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. And it says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, praise God, triumphing over them in it." Don't you just love that scripture? You know, "And you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way and nailing it to the cross, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them and triumphed over them in it." You know, the terms in this verse that Paul employs here are all military. And what the idea he's trying to convey in this passage here is that Christ has completely subdued and overcome all of our enemies by his death. We know that a complete victory was achieved on the cross. You know, death is the last enemy. And Jesus defeated death by the resurrection. Jesus defeated that last enemy by the resurrection. Jesus was raised to life again, and death was defeated. I like a, I read this some years ago, and I've never forgotten it, and actually I made a note of it and wrote it down. It was Selwyn Hughes writing in Every Day with Jesus, the daily devotional that he did. And on one occasion, must have been around this time of the year, he was talking about the resurrection, talking about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And he wrote these words, and I want to read them to you this morning. He says, "The cross was the victory won, and the resurrection the victory endorsed." That's a great statement. The cross was the victory won, and the resurrection the victory endorsed. Let me give you a little illustration to what that actually means. You know, whenever you travel and you go abroad, or perhaps you go on holiday or going from country to country, you have a passport. And your passport is a travel permit that means you can travel across borders. You can travel between countries. You know, it's possible that you can be standing in a country, but you can't enjoy the benefits of it. You know, when you, particularly when you fly in by plane and you land at an airport, you queue up in the immigration control and you're holding your passport in your hand. But you are not legally in that country until your passport has been stamped, or until your passport has been endorsed. And the cross, Jesus won, on the cross, Jesus won the victory. But it was when Jesus rose again from the grave, he rose up from the tomb, that victory was then endorsed by God. You know, the resurrection endorses the victory that was won at the cross. And the resurrection endorses redemption. Redemption becomes a reality because of the resurrection. And that's the whole theme of this new series of studies that we are now embarking upon, the reality of redemption. And redemption becomes a reality because of the resurrection, because Jesus rose again from the dead. Redemption becomes real to us today. A little while ago, we touched on Paul's instruction to Timothy concerning Hymenaeus and Philetus. Well, I want us to go back to that same chapter just for a moment or two. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, No, I've got the wrong scripture here. Be with you in a minute. There's a scripture. I put the wrong scripture in my notes. Sorry about that. There's a scripture somewhere. I'll have to find it. And it says here that we should constantly keep in mind, and this is actually the Amplified translation, that we constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as risen from the dead. Risen from the dead. You know, the scripture tells us to constantly keep that in mind. Constantly keep Jesus in mind. Not just Jesus in our mind, but Jesus is raised from the dead. So I'm just having a quick look in if I can find the scripture to give you the... I want to give you the correct reference. Never mind. I'll have to look it up and come let you know later. But if you want to look it up, constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has risen from the dead. That's the Amplified translation, and it won't be the same in the King James. Not. But if there's one image, and really, this is what I want us just consider this for a minute or two. If there's one image that Satan hates more than any other, and one that he would really like to forget, and that's the image of Jesus rising from the dead, stripping him forever of his power and authority, and openly displaying his defeat to all of heaven and hell. You know, do you remember we looked at that scripture in Colossians 2, where it says that, you know, that he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, and he nailed it to the cross, and spoiled principalities, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. That's the image that Satan wants to forget. He does not want to remember that image. And we are told to constantly keep that image in mind. Constantly keep Jesus as risen from the dead in our minds. You know, let me just give you that scripture, same scripture. From Colossians. Colossians 2 verses 14 and 15. But I want to give it to you in one of the modern translations. This is J.B. Phillips' translation, and it's a beautiful translation, and it says this. It says, "He has utterly wiped out the written evidence of broken commandments which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it to the cross. And then, having drawn the sting of all the powers and authorities ranged against us, he exposed them, shattered, empty, and defeated in his own triumphant victory." What a glorious... You remember when Jesus was crucified? And they hung a plaque above his head. And the Jews came to Pilate and said, "Look, we want you to change the plaque. We want you to change what you..." And Pilate says to him, "Look, what I have written, I have written." Now that plaque was historical. That was the sentence. That was what the reason. You know, it might have stated that a person was a thief, a person was a rioter. But the plaque above Jesus says, "The King of the Jews." Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And it was his, what was generally put above their heads was their crime, if you like, for want of a better word. Or the handwriting of requirements that was against the person. But Jesus took what was written against us, the sentence that was passed against us, and he annulled it by nailing it to the cross. And then when he'd drawn, according to what J.B. Phillips writes in verse 50, when he'd drawn the sting of all the powers and authorities that were ranged against us, he exposed them, shattered, empty and defeated in his own triumphant victory. You know, that's the image we need to consider and remember. We need to consider that image until it becomes etched in our hearts so deeply that nothing Satan ever says or does will move us from it. We've got to see that serpent defeated. He has been defeated. Jesus won the victory at the cross, and the resurrection endorsed that victory. That's why we're to always consider the resurrection. We constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ as raised from the dead. Constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ raised from the dead. I want to say it one more time. Constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ raised from the dead. We need to remember that. We need to consider that. That image needs to be etched in our spirits, needs to be etched in our hearts so deeply. So that when Satan comes against us, when Satan tries to move against us, when Satan says something against us, we bring up that image. He's been defeated. He's been exposed. He's been shattered. He's been laid bare. And Jesus has won the victory. It's something else for us this morning to consider as we are considering that the resurrection is the foundation of redemption. Every word of Scripture is true and backed up by the power of God. You know, we sing about it in that song, and it's resurrection power. Every word of Scripture is backed up by resurrection power. How do we know that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, it's the resurrection. How do we know that Jesus gives us life eternal? The resurrection. How do we know that Jesus is preparing a place for us in His glory? And He's gone there to prepare that place. How do we know? Because of the resurrection. You know, the resurrection attests every claim and every promise that Jesus ever made. How do I know that? Because Jesus made a claim and a promise that He would rise again. And He did. 1 Corinthians 6:14 tells us this, that God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. God raised up the Lord and He will also raise us up by His power. Because Jesus said it would happen, it did happen, and when He says that He will raise us up, we can take it to the bank that God will honor that promise. Another scripture, again in Corinthians, this time 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. The Bible tells us this. It says, "For though He was crucified in weakness, yet He lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God towards you." Did you get that? "For though He was crucified in weakness, yet He lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God towards." It was the power of God that raised Jesus up. It's the power of God that, although he was crucified, the power of God, resurrection power, raised him to life again. And we are weak in our flesh. We're weak in the natural. But we shall live with him. Why? By the power, by the resurrection power of God toward us. And if God honored the claim of Jesus that he would rise again, then there's nothing that Jesus has ever said that will not be honored. And how do we know? Because of the resurrection. So if God's given you a promise this morning, or if God's given you some promise, some scripture made to you, how do we know Jesus will perform it? Because God raised Jesus from the grave. You know, we're going to, as we develop this series on the reality of redemption, we're going to see some really amazing things. But I want you to know this morning that the resurrection guarantees your redemption. The resurrection guarantees your redemption. You know, the resurrection is the foundation of our redemption. The resurrection brings redemption into reality. If you're in Christ Jesus, you already have abundant, overflowing life. It's not something that you're going to get in the future. You already have it. If you are in Christ Jesus this morning, you already have forgiveness of sins. If you're in Christ Jesus this morning, and hear me church, hear me, you are already healed of every sickness and disease. If you are in Christ Jesus, you're already prosperous and blessed. If you're in Christ Jesus, you already have the victory over all the works of darkness and over all the works of the end. And how can I make these statements? Why, it's the resurrection. That's what guarantees your redemption. The resurrection guarantees your salvation. The resurrection guarantees your healing and your deliverance. The resurrection guarantees your abundant, overflowing life. The resurrection guarantees your forgiveness of sins. The resurrection guarantees your prosperity and blessing. Well, that's our base verse, isn't it? That we read right at the very beginning of the message this morning. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Then in verse 14 it says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That the blessing might come. That the blessing might come. The blessing is abundant overflowing life. The blessing is forgiveness of sins. The blessing is healing of every sickness and disease. The blessing is prosperity. The blessing is victory in every area of your life. And over all the works of darkness. And the resurrection guarantees it. Do you know what the scripture says in Romans? Paul writes to the church in Romans. Romans chapter 8. Verse 11 it says this. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. If the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and we have the same spirit living in us, the same spirit is in us that raised Jesus from the dead, and this is not this if here, it's not a questionable if, this is an if, that means that seeing that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. That's the same life that Jesus spoke about in John's Gospel when he was teaching on the thief. He says, the thief cometh except not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He says, but I have come that you might have life. I've come that you might have life. I've come that you might have abundant life. I come that you might have, oh, the Amplified puts it like this, that you might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. You know what that life is? That's the Zoe life of God. The Zoe life of God. That's the life, the kind of life that God has. The God kind of life. And we have it by the power of the resurrection. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. Will give that God kind of life to your mortal bodies. Did you know, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but Satan thought that he was putting an end to Jesus. He thought he was doing away with Jesus. He thought he finally got rid of Jesus. And he'd won the battle. But the Bible tells us this. That if he'd known what the death and resurrection would achieve, he would never have allowed Jesus to be crucified. If only he had fully realized and appreciated what the death of Jesus and the subsequent resurrection, what it would achieve, he would never have allowed Jesus to be crucified. You know what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8? It says that, which none, again, it started mid-flow, mid-thought. It says, none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If only Satan knew what was happening, what was going to happen. That on the cross, Jesus would win the victory. And not only that, but God would raise him to life again. You know, other things happened. And we're going to look at those in a few weeks' time. To do with the sacrifice of Jesus' blood, the blood covenant. But sufficient for today is this thought here. That the morning. Where should we go for it? Get rid of the grave clothes of sin and defeat. And start living in the power of the resurrection. Start living in resurrection power. You know, the stone has been rolled away. The stone's already been rolled away. We've sung about it. We've declared it. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou or death has won. The stone has been rolled away and there is no devil that could keep you from living in resurrection power today. The resurrection. This is resurrection day, and the resurrection is foundational to redemption. Why? Let me just run over my head in closing this morning. The truth of the resurrection is foundational to redemption. The truth of the resurrection is foundational to redemption. The resurrection endorses redemption. Always consider the resurrection. The resurrection attests every claim that Jesus ever made, and the resurrection guarantees your redemption. Praise God. What a day. Resurrection morning. Resurrection Sunday. A day for us to give thanks and praise to God for what he has done for us. You know that Jesus died, he rose again. And that's foundational to our series of teaching. I wanted to lay this foundation stone first this week. You know, the resurrection is the foundation of redemption. And we'll begin to build on that next time I speak in a couple of weeks' time. We'll begin to build on that. And I want to build a series so that we know what the reality of redemption is. Hallelujah. Amen. That's all we've got for you today. Praise God. Amen.